Hey, Jared Morris here. If you know anything about Rainmaker Digital and Copyblogger, you may know that we produce incredible live events. Well, some would say that we produce incredible live events as an excuse to throw great parties, but that's another story. We've got another one coming up this October in Denver. It's called Digital Commerce Summit, and it is entirely focused on giving you the smartest ways to create and sell digital products and services. You can find out more at rainmaker.fm/summit. That's rainmaker.fm/summit. We'll be talking about Digital Commerce Summit in more detail as it gets closer. But for now, I'd like to let a few attendees from our past events speak for us.
For me, it's just hearing from the experts. I mean, this is my first industry event, so it's awesome to learn new stuff and also get confirmation that we're not doing it completely wrong where I work.
The best part of the conference for me is being able to mingle with people and realize that you have connections with everyone here. It feels like LinkedIn Live. I also love the parties after each day, being able to talk to the speakers, talk to other people over here. First time, people have been here before.
I think the best part of the conference for me is understanding how I can service my customers a little more easily. Seeing all the different facets and components of various enterprises then helps me pick the best tools.
Hey, we agree. One of the biggest reasons we host a conference every year is so that we can learn how to service our customers, people like you, more easily. And here are just a few more words from folks who have come to our past live events.
It's really fun. I think it's a great mix of beginner information and advanced information, so I'm really learning a lot and having a lot of fun.
Conference is great, especially because it's a single track conference where you don't get distracted by like which session should I go to and am I missing something.
I mean, the training and everything, the speakers have been awesome, but I think the coolest aspect for me has been connecting with both people who are putting it on and then the other attendees.
So that's it for now. There's a lot more to come on Digital Commerce Summit, and I really hope to see you there in October. Again, to get all the details and the very best deal on tickets, head over to rainmaker.fm/summit. That's rainmaker.fm/summit.
On today's episode of The Missing Link, I am going to share with you my most coveted secrets about basically how we built our company into a multi-million dollar company. Today, we're going to be talking about how my business partner and I wrote a book in less than 8 hours, how I was able to get us in front of journalists and get them to publish our stuff, and eventually how I went on to become a journalist myself, and you can too. So join us today on The Missing Link. We're going to pull the curtain back, look under the hood, give the secret sauce, the secret recipe, you name it. We're laying it all on the line today.
And now, enjoy The Missing Link with Jabez LeBret and Micah Gadia.
Welcome to The Missing Link. My name is Jabez LeBret, and as always, Micah, it's so great
Hi,
to hear
Jabez.
Your voice. So we are going to jump into this episode, which is really jam-packed with some awesome, awesome, awesome super tips and secrets. And
yes.
I would say nervous about the fact there's probably going to be a landslide of discussion online in the group about this one, which is great. So I am excited about that. But people need to know how to get into the group if you're not in the group already.
So if you're in the continental United States, you're going to pull out your mobile device and you will text us at 41411. Your keyword is going to be mylink, M-Y-L-I-N-K, and take out that space because it autocorrects. If you are outside of the continental United States or you'd like to simply email us, you can do that at missinglink@rainmaker.fm, and we'll get you all set to join us and you can see what people are talking about after you listen to this episode.
All right, everybody. Thank you very much and we'll talk to you soon.
The Missing Link is brought to you by the Rainmaker Platform, the complete website solution for content marketers and online entrepreneurs. Find out more and take a free 14-day test drive at rainmaker.fm/platform.
Welcome, everybody, to The Missing Link. I'm your host, Jabez LeBret. And as always, I have the tried and true, steady, never, ever let us down, Micah Gadia. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jabez, and welcome you to the show as well. What's
Thanks,
going
Micah.
On?
Not a whole lot. Just trying to get my Pokemon Go score up. You know, apparently that's just what you do now. So,
yes, it
I've
is.
Been roaming around parks aimlessly, you know, just trying to find the next latest whatever. All right, so today's episode all about media and PR, which is super, super
good
exciting.
One.
And there's going to be a lot of follow-up discussion around this because of the nature of just, I think, how it's not straightforward. And so I know that the LinkedIn group is fantastic for people asking follow-up questions and getting good answers and support from the group. But it is a closed group. So real quick, let's just tell everybody how they can get into the LinkedIn group, and then we can jump right into the show.
You got it. So if you're inside the continental United States, you're going to take out your mobile device and you're going to text us at 41411. That keyword is going to be MyLink, M-Y-L-I-N-K, and take out that space because it will autocorrect every single time. If you are outside of the continental United States or you'd prefer just to email us, you can do that at missinglink@rainmaker.fm. And it is that easy to join us.
Boom. Easy. Easy. So today. Yep. I am so excited because this is a topic near and dear to my heart.
Yeah.
And we're going to hit two sides of this one today. And the audience, you didn't even know this coming into today's episode, but I'm also going to share with people how they can become the media.
Oh.
So I'm going to walk you through step by step. How do you become someone who writes in the media? And I'm going to tell you why that's important. So first off, let's jump in with kind of, I think, an overview of how we got to here today and why, if that's okay, about kind of like why am I someone who should talk about this? So for those of you that don't know, that I have not connected with, and by the way, if you're listening to this show, I would love for you to connect with me on LinkedIn. I do love connecting with anyone who's listening to this show. If you have questions or thoughts or comments, please, please, please do connect with me. It's just, I'm the only Jabez LeBret out there. So,
and I'll also add it into the show notes just for your ease.
If you can spell my name, good luck. So they, well, way back and when we had J.D. Gershbein on the show, J.D. had invited me. And I shared this story back in that episode. It was a really, really good episode, by the way, if you haven't listened to it. J.D. is fantastic. Where he had invited me to an event where he was speaking. And at said event where he was speaking, I didn't share this part of the story. JD had me stand up in the audience, and he spent a few minutes talking to the audience because he was there talking about LinkedIn. I had just moved to Chicago, and he was saying, look, here's someone who's just come to Chicago, who is a business guy. He's doing these things, and we were able to connect on LinkedIn, and now we're connecting in person, face to face, and how amazing is LinkedIn? And this was probably 7 years ago. It was a while ago. And so, you know, there was a couple hundred people in the room, and JD was, you know, expounding about how awesome I am, not because I'm that awesome, but because it made his presentation look really good. So, you know, and JD was like, you know, look, there's really awesome people you can connect with. And it legitimately had nothing to do with my actual credentials or anything that I had actually done. He was just pointing it out. Well, there was a
senior editor. You are awesome.
Well, thank you, Mike. I appreciate that. But you know, there are so many people out there that have done so many more things that I, you know, that I'm always constantly aspiring to do. That I was flattered as a senior editor for NBC Chicago was in the audience, came up to me and said, who are you writing for? I took 2 second pause and I said, what do you have in mind? I didn't want to say no one, right? Like, who are you writing for? Well, I post on Facebook. Does that count? So I kind of put my mouth shut. And she said, we would like you to write for NBC Chicago. And I said, great. I said, sign me up. What do you need from me? And they're like, we want you to write once a week. And I was like, excuse me? And they're like, yep, once a week, 400 to 500 word piece on our business column. And I was like, okay, let's do this. And so I started writing for NBC. And I wrote for NBC for about 3 years. Covered some awesome events, got to interview some really cool people like Tony Hsieh and several other business people, the CEO of Virgin Records and all sorts of different awesome, awesome folks on behalf of NBC. Went to South by Southwest on a press pass, which, by the way, was really awesome. And after that, I eventually got connected with Forbes through a gentleman named Roger Dooley, who is a neuroscientist who does a lot of writing on marketing and business from a neuroscience perspective. Him and I have spoken at several events together, and I started writing for Forbes. So now, looking back, I have realized over the last 5.5, 6 years of before I didn't even call myself a journalist, like I had really only considered myself someone who just has information to share. And have since like worked on the skill and craft to become more of a journalist. I've realized people don't understand how to pitch journalist. Like there's the old school method of like, I'm going to write a press release and then I'm going to, now they're in email form and I'm going to email that press release and then the journalist is going to contact me because my stuff is so awesome. And it does not work that way anymore at all. And so I thought it would be useful for this audience because we're telling people to write content, right? So a lot of what we talk about is write on the Pulse Network, you know, write on your blog and then post it on your status updates. And we're talking about content so much that I don't think we've identified how to help magnify that content. So tip number one, when you are writing a piece of content, insert data points into your content.
What does that mean?
So no matter what the topic is, find other sources of data to support your information or opinion and insert that data into the piece.
Are you looking for, when you're finding that data, are you looking for specific people in that niche? Are you looking for something from Consumer Reports? Are you looking, where are the best places to get that data from?
So, all right, let's say that your business is creating art. Okay. Let's say you're an artist and you're on LinkedIn and you're like, I don't really know what I'm doing on LinkedIn and how to leverage this network. And you've gone through and you've now filled out your profile and you've joined some groups and you've, you know, made some connections and reached out to folks and done some searching to different galleries and you're an artist. And now you're going to start writing content about being an artist and showcasing your art so that you can then hopefully get more people to pay attention to what you do. If you're writing an article about being an artist, finding information about, let's say, how many types of artists like you are there in your area or in the US, or how many students graduate from university with an art degree and then go on to be artists. How many pieces does it take normally take at a museum showing or something to generate revenue, or any sort of data point around your topic? It gets easier if you're in business. It's super easy because there's always lots of data, right? So, and I think most of our audience is going to be in that wheelhouse. And it doesn't matter if you're not an owner. Like, you could be an employee, right? Writing a piece of content, supporting that content with some useful data, whether that's ComScore data or city data or data from another media outlet. Inserting data inside your piece is really important. What it does is that it gives the journalist something to grab onto.
Okay.
It gives them something that they can take with. So your content, you've got to write good content. Then you need to insert data. Now you need to make sure that you're formulating a pitch to the journalist that's going to work. So there's a process to pitching the journalist. And this is probably where people go wrong. They write their pitch. So they write their content, they write their pitch, and then they send their pitch to the journalist. I don't know who you are. I've probably never heard of you, never met you. We may not have ever crossed paths, and you're wanting me to write about you.
Mm-hmm.
And this happened.
Isn't that how it works?
Of course. I've got nothing else going on other than. And so, I think that people forget that they have to build a relationship first before they actually send the pitch. And that relationship doesn't have to be long-term relationship. It could be something pretty short, like connecting with them on LinkedIn, sending them something that might be a valuable article that somebody else wrote that you think they might be interested in, connecting with them on Twitter, sharing their stories.
Everything we've talked about before.
I notice when people share my stuff, I pay attention to that. If you post my article on Twitter, I'm going to favorite it. I might even retweet it. So I'm going to be interacting with that person. And I've watched people do this before, and it's been interesting to watch, where they start connecting and sharing and sending articles. Then comes the actual pitch. Something that people don't realize about journalists is that they are actually hungry for stories.
Right.
They're hungry for content. Just like you are sitting there going, I don't know what I'm going to write about today, so are journalists. Journalists are going, I don't know what I'm going to write about today. And they need some information, some story, because most of us aren't beat reporters, right? And we're content creators. We're not someone out there covering the latest Pokemon Go story, that just happened out in wherever. So knowing that is good. It should give you some confidence.
Right. Yeah, that does. That is helpful to know that they are at the same place that I am when I'm sitting down to a blank screen.
Yeah. And when we had we've had several guests on here that produce a lot of content, and they all say the same thing. every one of them says, well, you just got to start writing and you got to start thinking about content. So that means that you want to have some starter, right? You want to have something to be writing about. So when you formulate the pitch should be very short, very concise, and it should be angled completely towards the journalist's audience.
Okay.
When you create your pitch, it should be, I have a story about this. It's important to your audience because
this,
the data here supports this. If you would like more information, please let me know.
Yeah, that feels great.
Because it's super short and super sweet and easy. And if I have actually followed up with, and people have done this to me before where they said, hey, we wrote this piece on the intersection between big data and communication and marketing, you know, and how CMOs aren't getting the right data. Here's the report on it. If you'd like to be interested in seeing this, here's some data from another source saying where this is a problem. Let us know if you want to talk. And I immediately shot back, great, send me the PDF. I'll take a look.
Love it.
And so, you know, that is like a proper way. Instead of saying, I have great things to talk about, would you like to talk to me? And we get it, like we have clients, GNGF has clients that are like, we want more media. Everybody wants more media. And they're like, well, we're really smart and we're really good at what we do. And I'm like, awesome. But that's not what motivates the journalist to talk to you. You have to build a relationship and some rapport first. So sending useful information is a really, really valuable resource. And then just follow up. It's okay to follow up with an email and a week later. But don't send the I'm just touching base email. That is the worst email possible. Send some sort of valuable piece of content to follow up with.
Yep. I love it. Sage advice.
Yeah. I mean, it simplifies the process. Now, what I think is even more exciting, and I really think this is, I don't know why nobody, there's two things that nobody does that I've offered advice. Maybe I should stop offering these as advice because nobody can. I talk to people about how to write a book, and I've talked to people about how to become a journalist. And so few people take me up on the offer, but it's actually not that complicated. So we're going to marry these two things together. And this is an extra added bonus. I'm going to teach you how to write a book in about 8 hours. So my business partner and I have a 300-page book on how to establish your law firm online. So it's all the ins and outs of having an online presence as a law firm because we work in the legal profession. The first version of that book, we were at a conference and we realized what we're missing is we don't have a book. There's no book has been written on this topic recently. We have all the knowledge. We went, we got two venti coffees from Starbucks. We went right up to our room. We taped an outline to the mirror. We opened up our computer and we hit record. And we recorded a 10-part outline. And it took about 6 hours. We just sat there for 6 hours.
Oh my God. That is so inspirational. Everything. A hotel room and a cup of coffee.
Yeah. And we talked through it as if we were reading a book. So sure, it still came out a little conversational in tone, which is a good thing because I like conversational books, especially nonfiction, because nonfiction can be super dry. But it was so much easier. So I talk at about 130, 140 words per minute. So if you figure it 140 words per minute, and then you start multiplying that out times 6 hours, all of a sudden you have, let's see here, how many exactly, let's whip out the little calculator here because this is important. So we had 140 times 60 times 6 is 50,000 words. So that's 50,000 words, which is a book, not one of those thin pamphlet crap things trying to get passed off like books. It's got some weight behind it. Add in pictures and images, add in a page for notes, and all of a sudden, next thing you know, you got a 240-page book.
Right. And you're allowed to mess up in that videoing process and that recording process. You're allowed to expand and explore. And, you know, from a writer's perspective, after you writing for 7 minutes, I think that's the normal sprint. You go beyond your front, you know, you go beyond to the core and the meat of what you really want to share. Once you get past that, you know, that first initial, I don't know what to call it, even fear, stuck brain or whatever. But anyway, you get to the meat of what you really, really, really want to share once you get into that flow.
And it just keeps going. And then we would add in notes to ourselves while we were talking. So we'd say, go back to that chapter that talked about Google Maps and put an image of Google Maps there. Back to the previous chapter, say that we're going to talk more about this down the road, because I'm staring at the outline right now. I know that I'm going to talk about it later. So say here, we're going to talk about this more later. Then we took that audio recording and we sent it to a transcriber. The transcriber transcribed the entire audio and sent it back. Now we had 50,000 word document that all we had to do was edit.
It seemed okay. Now that part of the process, like how much was it to get it transcribed?
Oh, how much did it cost? All in all, counting typesetting, graphics, and the cost for transcription, the total cost was about $3,200.
There you go. Might be worth it.
It is. So when once you have the book. And oh man, all right, I'm giving away all the secrets today. Okay,
go. That's for our audience. We love you, audience.
If you have bought our book because it's the number one bestseller, please hit fast forward and skip this part.
Okay, so here's the secret. Okay. We took our book, we got it published on Amazon. We self-published under our own publishing label. So we created a publishing label and then published under it. And Amazon will allow you, if you give them exclusive rights to your ebook for 90 days, they will allow you to, quote, sell your ebook for free for 1 week. All of those sales count towards number one status in that category. So you pick your category and try to pick a category that's not super duper duper competitive, but still has the right keyword mix to it for what you do. So ours was legal profession marketing. Right. So that's what we do. Marketing for legal professionals, not a heavily competitive group, but there are books in there. Then we sent 30 gift cards to our clients, 30 of our clients that we bought them the book and we sent them the gift card. So they would order it from their Amazon account, which showed up as a verified purchase. And then we email blasted our list of contacts to say you've got 1 week to download the book for free. And we hit number one in our category every time.
Yeah, that sounds like a double, triple, quadruple win.
Yep. So we actually, before we had actually done that, we had already printed on the cover number one bestseller in Amazon. That's how confident we were that this was going to work. And so we literally, it says on the cover, number one best-selling Amazon book on marketing technology for legal profession. And it is. But we got there by helping facilitate a timely amount of purchases.
Right. And great so strategy.
Super,
thank
super,
you.
Super, super, super secret. Don't share that one with everybody else. So you got this book. And the book's good for speaking engagements. It's good for credibility. You know, now you get to call yourself an author, which people think is this crazy, amazing thing. Like they really do think it's like crazy. They're like, oh my gosh, you're an author. That's incredible. And sometimes I kind of chuckle inside because I'm like, well, it really wasn't that hard. I just talked for 6 hours, which I could do any day about what I do. And so we also let go of the whole idea that done is better than perfect. So you know what I'm not going for is a Pulitzer Prize here. So this is just a book. It's a big business card. It is a valuable book. It's got good content. Mm-hmm. But it is a tool, right? It's one of our marketing tools. So now you've got some credibility behind what you're doing. You've got, you've been in contact. You've maybe been published in some media outlets, been quoted in some media outlets. Now it's time to get down to the nitty gritty of how do you become a journalist and why should you become a journalist? There's a couple reasons why you should. Number one, you never pay for a conference again. So I have covered so many conferences over the years and I go on a press pass and then I write a story about it. So remember, I was mentioning how journalists, we don't have a lot of content that we're just making up out of thin air. It's really nice when we get content. Conferences are a great place to get a lot of content. I can usually get a couple of articles out of a single conference. It's good for the conference because it gives the conference, you know, notoriety. It gives them visibility out in the marketplace. And it gives me a chance to go and attend the conference and learn as well. So it's a win all the way around. And so I've never paid for a conference. I've been able to interview anybody that I've ever asked for an interview. Mm. So like when you contact someone, you say, hey, I'm writing for NBC, my city, right? So if you're writing for the local affiliate, and that's where I think you should start, you know, you're like, oh, I'm writing for NBC Denver, or I'm writing for NBC Chicago, or NBC San Diego, keep it classy. So if you ever... A little Ron Burgundy joke there. If you ever
you know, you start finding yourself writing for these tier one media outlets and you reach out to somebody and you say, hey, I'd like to interview you for NBC. You know who doesn't say no to an interview for NBC? Anybody. Nobody says no.
Right.
So it opens up connections and doors that you just wouldn't have had available. And we've used it in our sales techniques as well. So as our company has grown and people have said, well, what about your competitor? We want to go work with your competitor. Oftentimes my response back has been, oh, that person who doesn't write for Forbes and NBC on this topic? Sure, you could go work with them.
Sure.
You know, right. So there's some marketing panache there that you can utilize. And so there's a process to getting into that place where you are able to become a journalist. Number one, you need to make sure that you have a clear, defined purpose of your writing. Who are you? What do you write about specifically? And so for a long time, I was writing about simplifying the complex marketing strategies for businesses. That was what I wrote about. I simplified complex marketing strategies for companies, and I would write about all sorts of different techniques and tips for marketing and making, you know, when Facebook ads was rolling out and it was all complicated, or Google PPC ads or SEO or all those other things. It can be kind of difficult for some people to know about how they really function underneath the hood. And I was like, all right, so here's, you know, a bigger picture of how it works. That was my thing. So you have to have an angle, like, who are you? What do you write about? Then when you approach the media outlet, remember, they're looking for content too. So not only is the journalist looking for content, but so is the media outlet. So NBC wants more content. They want more content. And they need people to write that content. But they don't want just anybody. They want people who are considered subject matter experts or highly knowledgeable in a specific field.
Right.
So you have to pitch yourself as, here's my angle to your audience, NBC. Here's why that's important to your audience. And here's why I'm the right person to do this.
Yep.
Then, to top it off, I always say, I've attached a sample article for your review. Feel free to publish this article. Just give me a byline. And then I follow up like crazy. I sent Forbes, I think, four articles before they finally published my first article in Forbes.
Wow. Now, are these all original articles just for that pitch?
Yes. Okay. They will not repurpose articles. Okay. So
a lot of work in that pitch.
Yeah. So there's a lot of work in that pitch. But
it's worth it.
Once you are in, you are in. You know what I mean? Like it never stops. And, you know, people talk about, well, how do I build my theme of who I am online? How do I build, you know, my reputation online? How do I get more inbound leads? How do I get more exposure? How do I separate myself from my competitors? It's not rocket science. It just takes a little bit of time and a little investment. Writing the book and also becoming a journalist are two huge methods that I think anybody could utilize simply because they need content. And I wrote 74 pieces for NBC before I got considered for Forbes. So it's not like you just tomorrow waltz in and start writing for the bigger publications. It does take time, but that's okay. It was great time invested. It was good practice. And I was able to make some really amazing connections along the way.
Yeah. And now you're an expert. Are you claiming that you are an expert writing for NBC and Forbes?
I've always kind of shied away from the term expert or guru.
Well, right,
personally,
I've never
liked it. I like other people to say that about you. Like, that's more powerful.
You know what I mean? Okay.
I was an expert witness in a trial in Maryland. And so I have since then kind of referenced to that sometimes, but I still am kind of leery of that. But no, that's a great question. And so I just think it's a whole nother avenue that our audience could use with their content that they have. And all this stuff bakes into your LinkedIn, right? So in LinkedIn, I know my skills and expertise. I have NBC Chicago. I have Forbes. I add them in as employers, right? And we've talked about that before, where you should be adding in the people that you consult with and work with under your experience. And so I say Forbes, and then I say right there, I'm really clear about it. I contribute to this channel. This is where I am at. This is what I write about. This is the link you can get to my stuff at. And it's a really powerful mechanism and a tool to just kind of build you up in the LinkedIn community and online and even offline, speaking engagements and everything else.
Right. Amazing. Yes to this.
So cool. I thought it'd be fun. I've been getting some of the questions about those things. So
I thought we'd just give everybody a quick episode on that. Thank you very much for joining us today and listening to me talk a lot on this episode of The Missing Link. My name is Jabez Labrette. And thank you, Micah, for joining us today. And we will talk to you next week.
Thank you for listening to The Missing Link. Tune in next week as we continue the discussion to improve your marketing on LinkedIn.